Okay, well, welcome back to the New Testament journey. I've been let back in.
Yes, you've returned.
Straight back in. I don't know how that's happened.
It's nice to have you back.
I'm back here. Enjoyed watching you and Lara last week, Tom. The main thing I took out from it, so I can check my homework with you, is we're into the book of Mark. Did the first bit last time, and the two key kind of ideas, or what's demonstrated about Jesus, was he's full of compassion and he's full of authority.
Yeah, and these chapters carry on really, really leaning, I guess, more and more into the authority question.
Okay.
And for Mark, Jesus continually is the person who's described as the amazing one. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. They're amazed at his authority. They're amazed at what he did. They were astounded. And so authority is what Jesus brings. He shows astonishing authority. And if you want to understand this man, come back to this man, you have to face up to the fact that he has astonishing authority. Now, authority is the ability to say yes to something and your yes makes that happen, mm-hmm. or to say no to something and your no makes that happen. So I was trying to think of examples from everyday life.
Yeah.
Teacher in classroom, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've said before about certain teachers.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I remember one, I think it was the deputy head at high school. I mean, half a twitch of an eyebrow and he was controlling, you know, the hundreds of students.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Whatever he said went. He had great authority. And then, of course, you get the odd supply teacher come in, desperately trying to grab some authority from somewhere.
Yeah.
But they don't have the ability to say, do this, do that.
Yeah.
People follow it.
So they say no and everyone just ignores them.
Yeah.
But that guy doesn't even have to even say, you know, just the eyebrow says no and it stops him. And so what we see is that the religion, the people who wanted to know God and who wanted to follow God, lacked authority. They were like the supply teacher.
Mm.
And what we have in this section is four really clear examples where Mark shows that these guys couldn't get the job done. And then suddenly Jesus shows up and seemingly quite easily, boom, like he says no and it stops.
Yeah.
Or he says yes and it starts. So there's a man at the Gadarenes, very well-known story. The key thing that's stressed is that everybody had tried. They tried to chain him up for years. They tried to clothe him. They'd sent him away. And he was wild and uncontrollable. Mm. There was no authority in the religion at the time that could say no. And it stuck.
And then Jesus comes along.
And this thing that nothing could control runs, it says, and kneels before Jesus and screams with terror. Like, you have so much authority over me. You could do anything you want to me right now.
Amazing. Amazing.
So what we see, and there's lots more in that story, but what we see there is that Jesus has this astonishing authority. Second example, there's been a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And Mark emphasizes she's tried every single doctor.
Mm.
She's gone to every cure. She's tried conventional medicine at the time. She's tried, you know, alternative medicine. She's tried prayer. She's tried everything. And nothing could fix her. And she doesn't even have to have Jesus say anything to her. She just reaches out and touches him.
Yeah.
And his authority is sufficiently imbued in his being that says no and the bleeding stops.
Amazing.
Isn't that astonishing?
Amazing. And then you've got the dead girl.
Yeah, a little girl who's sick.
Yeah.
Presumably everyone's praying for her and trying to get her sorted, and then she dies. And Jesus is like, no, don't worry.
Yeah.
I even have authority over death. Really interestingly, even his disciples haven't quite managed to live up to this. So they're praying for this little boy who's got a demon. They haven't got the authority, seemingly, or they're not using it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. They're like, what? We can't do this thing. What's going on? And he's like, you know, this type comes out with prayer and fasting. But what he really is bringing in is his authority. It's the access to his authority can remove even this kind of demon.
Yeah, so there's four stories there of, I suppose it's people in bondage one way or another, isn't it? You know, under other influences, whether it be demonic or sickness or death. And Jesus comes through and he touches these lives and set people free. I've had this image recurring a little bit over the last few weeks, really, since the images from Ukraine have come in. of like an invading power, and it leaves destruction in its wake. And then just the awareness of there's another king who, when he comes with authority and power, things aren't destroyed, lives aren't lost, demonized men are freed, sick women are healed, dead girls are brought back to life. And it's that invasion of love, but with authority, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about the situation in Ukraine. The tragedy of it is so great. And what it demonstrates, it's a picture of what Satan has done across the whole of the earth.
Yeah.
And everybody looks at it and's crying out, like, can't we just stop Putin? Like, can't we just stop him from doing this? And the reality is we haven't got the authority.
Yeah.
Like, even Joe Biden, all he can do is sort of put some sanctions on his family. And Putin's like, well, so what? Like, you haven't got the authority to stop me. And there's a genuine sense of powerlessness that leads often to anger.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be this way, but we can't stop it being this way.
Yeah.
And so that gives us a sense of what these guys must have felt. You know, this father who's seen his daughter sick and can't stop it. The family probably of this guy who's all these demons is just like, you know, the agony of he's once again, he's cutting himself. He's running around in the caves. Like, he's naked. Like, everyone hates him and scared of him. Gives you a flavour, and like, if only somebody could do something about this. And then in steps Jesus.
Amazing, yeah.
And not only does he do this to these things, we then see just sort of a whole new level of feeding 5,000 people in the wilderness, walking on water, and then feeding 4,000 people. And those got hugely symbolic things, but we won't get into that for today. But the reality is that Jesus brings just incredible authority that goes beyond anything that humanity thought they could achieve. And even on the same sort of thing as that, not only does he go beyond what humans thought they could achieve, but he does things that humans have been trying to achieve but couldn't achieve.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And what I think we're seeing in our church at the moment is, for whatever reason, more instances of Jesus bringing his authority to do things that we couldn't do, that we desperately wanted to see happen.
Yeah.
I think of just over the last few weeks that the number of people who've had long-running demonic thoughts going through their mind, or even kind of just like voices in their heads that have plagued them for years, and a prayer and an authority of Jesus being brought into the situation, they'd say, like, I can't believe it, I'm just a totally different person. There'd be like a handful of those people.
Yeah.
I think of people who were really sick. It affected everything about their life. Like, even again on Monday night, Hannah Merriman was saying about just the reality of chronic fatigue was so great. It sat like this thing on top of, like, a suffocating force. And then just, no, we're not saying it's like a simple thing, but just the authority of Jesus increasingly repeatedly being brought into that space. And now it's just, I've got so much energy. I feel like I can just do so many things I couldn't do. Like, it's like I'm coming alive again.
Yeah.
And that's one of many.
Yeah. And that's the authority of Jesus.
It's nothing other than the authority of Jesus, is it? It's we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, many doctors have tried. We've prayed. You know, we try with our best efforts, good advice, nice words. But something different needs to come. And that different is the astonishing authority of Jesus. Yeah. And so it's a wonderful thing. And we've seen many people on the Unlock weekend. Just a sense of, wow, like, there's a new feeling of freshness and peace and identity. I know who I am suddenly. I realise I've been carrying all this baggage, and the authority of Jesus has come in and lifted that baggage out of me.
Yeah.
And wow, I feel fresh and clean and alive. And while we love all of that, these stories should also help us see, but we ain't seen nothing yet. I don't think yet we have seen the laws of gravity overcome by the authority of Jesus walking on water or an equivalent. But why wouldn't we? That his authority can do that.
Yeah.
Or the feeding, you know, the multiplication of food. And I want to see these things, because Jesus is authority. He's present among us as church, and his authority can say yes to this when he wants to, say no to that. And so we should expect it.
Yeah. How do we push into that?
Well, they talk about I mean, Jesus does talk about prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
But I think what I'd really want to stress in that is that when he says that, he compares, he says, you're a wicked and sinful generation or a crooked generation. Mm-hmm. And then he talks about himself coming as the Son of Man. And so when we're praying and fasting, we're not summoning up within ourselves to be anything. It's not the fasting and the prayer that actually count. What mm-hmm. it is the prayer and fasting is like reaching out and grabbing onto the Son of Man, Jesus, mm-hmm. to his way of being human. And it's his presence that we kind of draw in and his authority that we draw in. And something about it, it's mysterious, I think, but something about prayer and fasting, about the presence of Jesus, means that in the same way that Jesus carried his authority in his body, so the woman just had to touch his cloak, yeah. even his clothes, yeah. somehow through that, through just time with Jesus, his authority begins to sit or imbue all of our being, and even the clothes we wear.
Yeah.
So you see like the crazy stories of Paul's, is it Peter's handkerchief? Paul sends a, you know, what's he do? I can't remember. It's Peter's shadow.
Yeah.
So even, you know, this so imbued the authority. And I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
To sit, you know, temptation in this life is to think that if I'm not doing something on my phone or sending emails or somebody's noticing what I'm doing, it's not time well spent.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes just to sit and say, Jesus, let your presence come. I give you this time. Sometimes that is the most powerful and fruitful thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
So that's the authority of Jesus, which is astonishing. Should we do the next bit?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I think what I've seen you do, particularly over the last few months, is just continue to try.
Yeah.
Just continue to, okay, let's pray for sick people.
Mm.
I think the Lord's given me a word. Let's share it. Mm. Let you know. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, you know, we just think that the Lord might want to do something with this group of people or with people struggling with this.
Mm.
Please come forward and pray. And at many other times, and I think that continual, it's similar to the prayer and fasting in a way. It's putting yourself in a place of, well, it could happen here. It could happen here. And we're going to continue to ask. And we're going to continue to press on. I think that's been really, really powerful. Really powerful.
And actually, I mean, just saying that, because Jesus brings a clash. Like there is an authority already in place in the world.
Mm.
When Jesus' authority comes in, it doesn't come into a vacuum.
Yeah.
And what I'm beginning to realise more and more is that I can hear the yes and the no of the existing authority.
Mm.
And that's soaked into me. I just think that's how life is.
Yeah.
And when Jesus then comes and he says yes to things or no to things, like, for example, yes, I want to heal people today.
Yeah.
I want to take away things that have caused people issues for all their life. He's saying yes to that. But I hear the no of our culture or of my lived experience of faith.
Yeah.
Oh, I've tried that. I've prayed for people. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. You know, or I don't really feel, if I stand up in front of everybody and say this, then they're going to think I'm a bit stupid. And so and what I'm realizing is there has to be almost a deliberate decision to allow the authority of Jesus, his yes and his no, to push out the familiar yes and no that I've got from whatever.
Yeah.
Because only then is there really his authority is in place. You can't have two authorities at the same time.
Yeah.
And we see that in these verses. Like they take offense at Jesus in his own town. They say, isn't this, you know, we know this guy. Herod actively, like aggressively, well, actually his wife and his daughter, behead John the Baptist. Like they don't want the authority that he brings and the message of the kingdom of God. They're like, no, we've got our authority. We're the king. Yeah. So we don't want that. Don't insult us about what we do sexually.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. So, butt out. Pharisees on ceremonial washing, used to Pharisees saying. So, I guess all that comes to think, like, there are times where you have to consciously make that decision. I'm going to believe that what I think Jesus would say yes to. So, on Sunday morning, I've had I don't know if it's hay fever or whatever. I have recurring issues with my sinuses. I've been prayed for so many times, it doesn't seem to make much difference. And I felt like I was underwater. I just felt like I just wasn't fully present. And then you'd said, and then you'd been away, and you said, can you come and help with ministry? I was like, okay, fine. I really want to say yes to the things of Jesus. Whether I feel like it, I feel like I'm not fully present. I feel like I'm kind of underwater. But I know Jesus would say yes to these things and no to those things. And so I'm going to come and try.
Yeah.
So not feeling brilliant, I said, I just think we should pray for particular people. You gave a great message. So off the back of that. And then, to be honest, I was like, oh, you know, as you would underwater, all your senses are dulled. But then just had a lovely, lovely email or response from a couple of people saying that was so, so powerful for them. Like the Lord met with them in such a profound and encouraging way off that prayer. And I thought, wow, you know, it would have been so easy just to have thought, don't really feel like it. It's probably a no today. You know, I probably won't bother. And then the next day, I was asked to do some prophetic words for some of our small group leaders. Again, I still was feeling a bit rough. I was like, and I wanted to get back to see the kids. And I was like, okay, got 10 minutes. Let me just sit and try and do these things. And it ended. And then I looked up and I was like, I've been doing it for an hour. And I was like, oh man, like this is, it just wasn't the dream. But I knew Jesus would want to speak to these people. He loves them. They're serving him. They're doing things for his sake. And it's anonymous, right? So, but you can hear when the words in the room, they were read out later in the evening, and see the response of the people who, when they hear the prophetic words. There's two of them, which I've done. And afterwards, the person was so like, it was like the words of Jesus to them. I thought, well, you know, I was oblivious to that. When I was writing it, I was a bit like, well, maybe this is what God would want to say.
Yeah.
So all that's a very long way of trying to say there is a clash of authority and your body will so often manifest to you the yes and the no, the sort of that you've learned from the authority that sits in this world. And without wanting to make it too dramatic, Paul calls that this evil age.
Yeah.
There's like a power of evil or power of disbelief or of what Jesus calls wicked or corrupt or sinful generation. Let's think that we just don't really think God's that interested. We don't really think God wants to do anything. And you can believe the yes or no of that. And often we go through every day thinking no to this, yes to that. And then Jesus comes in with his authority and he says, actually, I'm going to say yes to that thing that you just don't think can happen. And I'm going to say no to that thing that's been causing problems and you don't think you can get rid of. Yeah. And to choose to believe that.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
So interesting to see how it plays out in these chapters. And is it fair to say you almost sense the frustration of Jesus? You know, he says to his disciples, are you still so dull?
Yeah.
And there's a kind of, I don't know what the word would be, almost like a narkiness, the way he deals with it, the Samaritan woman.
Yeah.
It's quite a rude exchange almost, or we would consider it. And it's like, you know, what have you guys been talking about? And we see one with all the authority and all the love. And yet, exactly like you're saying, there are these other authorities and other factors in play. And that's what we see in these chapters, isn't it? The coming together of these things.
And he drives them out. It requires a driving out. It doesn't just, the existing authority doesn't just sort of say, oh, well, you know, he has to drive it out.
Yeah.
Now, maybe like the demoniac, it does come and kneel before him and it will do what he says.
Yeah.
But it still requires, you must go and do this.
Yeah.
And so if we think about that as an image, really, of what we must do, we must drive out those things that sit from the old authority and allow Jesus's words to be the ones that define what we do.
Yeah, amazing, amazing.
And so maybe just finally about that, shall we just talk about the kind of thing that then Jesus brings it all in a fairly Jesus-like way?
Let me read these verses. Yeah. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person.
So you might be like, what on earth has this got to do with authority?
Yeah.
And on its own, which is probably often just talked about on its own, it doesn't seem to. But in the context, what we see is Jesus is bringing the authority of the kingdom. His authority. He's the Son of Man. He's coming to set free people who are captive.
Yeah.
This authority holds them. He's coming to set them free. And what he does is he demonstrates that with nature miracles, with healings, with exorcisms. But what he then gradually, increasingly turns to his disciples and says, guys, I want you to get this. My authority actually to save the world needs to come into your heart.
Mm.
I could cast out every demon. I could heal every sickness. I could feed every hungry person. I could calm every storm. But unless your heart has my authority bring peace and like bring your desires into control, evil will persist in this world.
Mm.
It will just all of it will just come back again, because it's out of the heart, ultimately, the heart of people is where the battle for the future of the world will be won or lost.
Yeah.
And so he looks at his disciples and is like, you must carry your cross. You must allow my authority to come and say no to your sinful desires. And you must allow my authority to come and say yes to your good desires. And unless that happens, everything else, we're just playing. We're just playing. And something that I notice is that we increasingly are waking up to the fact that the church needs to tackle the global issues of injustice.
Mm.
Love it.
Yeah.
Like, we want to do stuff about Ukraine. We want to do stuff about global warming. We want to do stuff about racism and hunger. Like, that's amazing. But what we can't lose is that we could do all these things, but unless our hearts are made pure, evil will continue to bubble up from within, cause us to do things to wound our neighbour, and they'll wound their neighbour, and suddenly, it's sort of to slightly wrongly paraphrase Gandhi, then all the world will suddenly then be blind.
Mm.
And so the question that really Mark want, and Peter probably, who was the guy speaking behind Mark, and Jesus himself wants to bring to you, is like, will you let him say no to the desires within your heart that are leading to evil? Will you let him do that? Because it's not about eat this food or do this activity or whatever. It's about his yes and no increasingly soaking into your heart, that when you feel really angry about this person, you hear his no, don't say that, don't do that. Or you hear his yes, like, turn that anger into an act of compassion, into a deed that overcomes this systemic evil. But or lust, you know, greed. Yeah, you hear his no to, no, don't use that to get everything you want, just to think about what you want out of this situation. Don't, you know, over consume. Instead, let me say no to that greed, and instead say yes to the good desire of love and of kindness. And does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean, I've been reading a book about the church between AD 50 and AD 350. So roughly 50 is where we kind of probably see the Acts of the Apostles narrative ending. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit earlier than that, but around then. 350, it's around then, is when Christianity became the state religion.
Yeah.
And so there's a really interesting period of time. Like, what on earth happened? How can it go from sort of just 120 people, or just, you know, a few thousand people, random little tiny rooms, to suddenly the whole world, seemingly the whole Roman world. What on earth happened? And there's this guy called Justin, who was one of the early preachers. And what he stresses over and over again is that it's the behaviour and the character of Christians that counts. It's the behaviour and the character. It's people who've allowed the authority of Jesus to change their hearts. So they respond to people differently. And so, amazing phrase in the book said, it wasn't attractive worship services that people came to that caused them to want to become a Christian. So it wasn't like, hey, there's a great Sunday meeting, come to this, oh, this looks amazing, let's hear the gospel, let's experience the Holy Spirit, and let's become a Christian. No, he said it was attractive Christians who caused people to want to come to the worship service. And actually, for a lot of them, they weren't allowed to come until they'd been baptised, and that would take them about 2 years. So they'd have to go through 2 years of small group before they were allowed to come on a Sunday morning.
So different.
And only when they'd gone through 2 years of small group, they'd have to have their leader of their small group vouch for them and say, yeah, Andy used to be really lazy, and now Jesus has changed him, and now he works hard in his job. He used to be somebody who, you know, got angry a lot and shouted, and now he doesn't. And so when they vouch for him, they say, yeah, okay, now you can come and join us on a Sunday. And I find that absolutely just, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It was all about the evil desires that come out from within, having the authority of Jesus sit over them, be proven to be sitting over them, that they become somebody like a good tree bearing good fruit.
Yeah.
And that was Christianity for the first 250, 300 years.
The authority of Jesus reigning in people's hearts.
Making a difference.
Yeah. Wow. It's worth thinking about, isn't it? It's worth thinking about. I just love the... It's funny because we're talking about the negative aspects of the slowness of the disciples, the evil in their hearts. I take a strange encouragement from it. Like, it's always, you know, people were right there. They were right in front of Jesus. They still struggled to get it sometimes. They were still slow. They were still wanting to be first place. This has always been the kind of people that Jesus has taken. Mm. But then, you know, we know from history, hearing a bit more about what happened, longer history, but Jesus genuinely gets hold of people, and when the authority comes, it does change. Mm. It does change people, and it can change you, it can change us.
And maybe that, you know, nice way to land it really is all this talk about authority today, but Jesus is a God of compassion.
Mm.
And so he wants to bring his authority into your heart, but he also has such compassion that when you mess it up, when you don't quite get it right, he doesn't walk away, you know. In his compassion, he's like, okay, let's do this again.
Yeah.
Let's go back over this. Let's get this sorted. I love him for that.
Yeah, amazing.